Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' You must not surely die. You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid."
Thank you. So the title of today's message is called "Be Naked and Die." And I know what you guys are thinking, you know. Saying, "Man, you gotta work on your titles, man. You know, your titles are just terrible. Be naked and die could be offensive to some people. Be naked and die. You know, how many of you came here, you know, saying, 'I wanna be naked today,' or 'I wanna die today?" I know what you guys are thinking. You know, you guys are probably thinking, you know, saying, "We gotta work on you, man. Some PR issues." What kind of title is this, man? Saying, you're having a hard time coming up with titles, man. I could do a better job than you. Listen, today, I want you to have a death wish. I know that sounds funny, but I want you to have a death wish today. Have you ever tried to cover yourself up? Any of you, just think about it. Have you ever tried to cover yourself up? It could be in terms of, like, you know, your parents asked you a question, and then now, you know, you don't want to say the right answer, you know, because if you're found out, then you might get in trouble. It could be from your boss. You know, you want to cover up. Or, I mean, it could be just something as simple as, like, you got a pimple and you're going out on a date. You know, what do you do? You know, I know girls have all kinds of makeup and stuff to, you know, cover up. Think about that one. Have you ever tried to cover yourself up? You know, whenever I go visit Pastor John at his place, you guys know he has twins, right? The funny thing is, whenever I go to his house, the twins are naked. And it's, you know, it's just, for me, I guess it's something with me and, like, naked males, you know, I just kind of like, whoa, but they're naked. But then, you know what's really funny? Actually, you know, I don't mind them walking around naked, but they come to me and saying, "Hug me." But you know what's really interesting about the kids is they feel no shame. Completely naked, they're, you know, it's not like, you know, "Oh, I better be careful to not make my body movement like this because I'm naked, because people will look at me the wrong way." They're naked, they have fun, they throw toys, they do all kinds of things that kids do. They have no shame, they have no worries. Unfortunately, I think for us, as we grow, I think you guys could all relate to this, as we grow, we kind of come up with more things that we need to cover up on. You know, as we grow, we realize, you know, I can't show this to anyone, you know. Or, you know, when you meet people, of course, you know, you want to talk about your good points. You got to cover up your bad parts. Though we all realize that we're not perfect, you know, we are not like the kids, you know, who feels no shame, but we feel like we gotta cover up. Do you agree with that? You know, do you guys agree? As we grow, it seems like as we grow older, we become experts in covering up, because we feel like we have more things that we need to hide from other people. You know, think of it like when you're on a date. You know, you guys know, I mean, some of you are married, I know, but just think back to when you guys were on a date, right? You wanna show only your good parts. It's not really you. So you kind of treat the lady to, you know, if you're a guy, you guys treat the lady to the most expensive, most exquisite, as if you're going to do this when you're married. And, you know, I mean, ladies, you know, you guys dress up with the nicest clothes. You know, it's, think of it like that, you know. We gotta cover ourselves up. And, you know, one thing I realized is community's not that favored anymore. And because I think the reason is because we have the reason to need to cover up. Like, for example, like with the advent of internet and, you know, like accessories, appliances like washing machines, drying machines, you know, people start doing things at home all by themselves, which is, I think, convenient, but it kind of kills the community. You know, people talk by chatting online. That's good too, you know, but I think what it does is it kills community. Now people don't feel the need to be around other people, even like video games. You know, you guys play video games. Like when I was younger, I used to play, you know, go over to my friend's place to play video games together. We used to have a lot of fun, but now everything's online. You play like StarCraft at home, you know, everyone just hides behind the computer. And what happens is you get to cover up your flaws. You know, you could be naked when you're playing, or you could, I don't know what you guys do, but you don't need to see other people. Right? But the truth, you know, of this convenience is many people are more lonely. You guys ever feel lonely? More people are lonely. And with, you know, now with the economy, with, you know, parents having to work, I think back in the days, adults, that maybe the father could work and then the wife could stay home with the kids and the father would be able to bring enough money for the family. But nowadays, it seems like both parents have to work. Now, both parents have to work, then the younger kids, basically our generation, we have to live our lives without parents watching us. So breaking apart community, families. And I think many of us know, because I know just talking out here in front of many of you grew up with single parents. And it's the, basically, community's being broken down. And guess what? In our lives, don't we live a busy life? We got studies to do. We got to work. We got to do this. And because of that busyness, we don't have time for others. We don't have time for God. But God never meant it that way. Remember, God wanted, He designed something for good. He wanted a community where we could connect to Him. He wanted us to be able to love one another, care for each other. But the world has kind of gone insane. What do we do in places like this? So we'll cover that. All right, let's go through the verses. Verse 25, it says, "The man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame." This is like the state of Pastor John's kids, right? They don't care whether they're naked. They have no shame. They have no fear. They're not worried. They're just happy as they are. They're not concerned about anyone looking down on them. They're happy. But look at what happens next. Verse 1 through 1 goes, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" So here, this talks about how the serpent attacks us. The serpent is not like, you know, like those martial artists, they throw rocks at, you know, I mean, I don't know. Satan's job is not to overpower us, you see. He doesn't like throw a rock at you. He doesn't do those UFC moves to cause the other person to submission. What he does is he tricks us. He wants our hearts to turn away from God. He wants us to think God is the bad guy. His job, look, this is what he says. "Now the serpent was more crafty," right? And then this is what his question is. "Did God really say," think about those words, "did God really say?" His job is to trick us, to get our hearts to not like him. You know, not think that God is giving us the best. To think that what God offers is subpar. We could do something better if we didn't trust God. So, you know, what the serpent was asking here was, "Do you think God, you know, doesn't want you to eat this fruit? It's actually, if you do it, you're going to be better off. I tell you, you're going to be better off. Do it on your own. You don't need God. You could do it better on your own." This is Satan's same attack on us today. So Satan's job is to trick our hearts, trick us, so that way our hearts are led away from God. And in verse 2, it says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'You may not eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" The term "die," I don't know if Eve knew it or not at this time when she was saying this, but "die," you know, it could be physical death where, you know, you are buried, you no longer breathe, and we put you in the grave, right? But "die," it could also be separation from God. You see, Satan is saying, you know, you're not going to die. You know, you're not going to die. But right now, as we know at the end of the story, God did separate from the people. Right? Adam and Eve had to leave this garden, had to leave the presence of God. And they were eternally doomed, technically, because they were away from God. But of course, God gave us his provision that we could come to God through Jesus. But Satan's lying here. Verse 4, look at it. It says, you will not surely die. Right? That's Satan speaking. The serpent speaking. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Your eyes are going to be better than God, or your eyes are going to be just like God. Listen, you know, you do this, and you'll be better off. And we know how the story ends. Their eyes were not opened like God. But you know what their eyes were open to? It's not like, you know, those Asian eyes, like squint eyes to a bigger eye. That's not what he's talking about. Their eyes were opened in a different way. They became judgmental. They became selfish. They began to look for their needs. They wanted praise from others. You know, if their eyes were opened like God, you know, wouldn't they be omniscient, you know, knowing everything? Wouldn't they be able to just know everything? But that's not what happened when they ate this fruit, right? Their eyes were not opened like God, but their eyes opened in a different way. So if you look at verse 7, it says this, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. You see, this is how it opened. It didn't just open and they became like God. Eyes of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. Realized they were naked. You know, they were naked all along. Did you know that? They were naked in the garden all along, but they realized they were naked. That's what happened. Their eyes now realized they were naked. So they sewed up fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. They realized they were naked. You know, this is the kind of conversation I'm thinking of. You know, Adam and Eve looking at each other. Whoa, you're naked. You know, and I bet, you know, it's not just like, whoa, you're naked. I bet they became judgmental. They were looking down on each other. Yo, Adam, you look so fat. You know, I didn't know you were so fat. You know, man, you think you're going to please me as a man? And, you know, Eve, you know, Adam probably saying to Eve, you know, you're not such a hottie yourself. Right? And guess what they had to do? They tried to cover themselves up. Right? That's why it says they sewed up fig leaves. They had to cover themselves up because they realized they're not that perfect. So they tried to cover up their flaws. So that way, at least in front of the other person, they could look right. They could look upright. So now their eyes isn't, you know, they say the eyes here, but it's really their hearts have become corrupt, become self-occupied, seeking me. I gotta look good in front of this person. I gotta look good in front of this person. So then, this is the world state that we've gone to. We've covered this before, right? You know, everyone working for themselves. And in this world of independence, you know, capitalism and, you know, this awarding individualism, you know, it's just causing us to do more of this. We don't need other people. I just gotta study hard, get a good job, do well, that's it. But, you know, God never designed us to be this way. He wants us to be people who love God, who love others. All right, now I want you to think about this one, all right? I know many of you could know this firsthand, but you guys know divorce rates are incredibly high, right? And who does that really affect? You know, the children, right? And because in our generation, because we've seen the effects of divorce, how damaging it could be, many of us, I know, many of my peers, they don't want to get married. But, you know, but they still could fill their needs, right? They could have sex anyway, you know? And, you know, it's that, you know, people still want to do what they want to do. You know, God designed man and woman to be together, to be happy. You know, that is something really good. That was a gift from God, you know, a blessing. But, you know, people are more concerned about divorce because the world state has become this way. And people don't want to get married, right? This blessing. And, you know, I think, you know, here's one thing I think you guys could all relate to. You know, what is your expectation? What is the expectation of you? And don't think I'm sexist when I start explaining. I just want to make a point. You know, for a guy, you know, let's say a guy in college, right? What is expected of you? You got to first, of course, for anyone in college, I guess you got to still meet your parents' expectations, right? What your parents expect you to do. But as a guy, you know, you're expected to, you know, do well in school, you know, get a good job. You know, this is the ideal expectation, right? And then what else? Now they want the guys to be able to cook and be able to clean, be able to do all this. You know, this is your picture-perfect ideal guy, right? And same thing for, no different for the girls, too. You know, you're expected to be pretty. You're expected to, you know, do well in school. You're expected to get earn a lot of money. I have no clue, no idea why some guys want the girl to make that much money, but some guys do. You know, that's your that's the expectation, right? And they expect you to also clean the house, you know, keep the house clean, you know, take care of family. You know, that's the expectation. But you know what that is? I think it's people expecting people to be super people. Are you guys like Superman, Superwoman? And because of all that, you know, our lives are so confused. And we are busy trying to do this, trying to fill this, trying to fill that. And then we're living busy lives. You know, Satan tricked us. Because we think living those busy lives is going to lead us to good. It's, you know, being that busy, you know, being able to make lots of money, you know, that will lead us to happiness. But, you know, all that busyness is one of Satan's tricks to cause us to not have time for others, not have time for God. And then our lives are actually miserable. You know, just because you make a lot of money, just because you get good grades, you know, does that fill your emptiness, your loneliness? People are expected to be super people. You know, see, it all came here. Here. And as time goes, I think it's going to get worse. I think you guys are going to be more busy, you know, more things to do. And, you know, then what? Are you going to chase them all? And then you're going to feel like, oh, I just didn't meet up to it. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I can't hold a job, or I can't, you know, do well in school. I got to do all these. My parents expect a lot of me. I got to do this. I got to do that. But listen, God is telling you to come naked before Him. He's asking us, just come as you are. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to, you know, meet all the needs. Just come to Him. That's it. Just come to Him, and He'll accept you just as you are. You see, when their eyes were opened, Adam and Eve, this is when their relationship were broken between people. You see, they started becoming judgmental. They started thinking for themselves. They wanted to be number one. And eventually, they didn't want to be just number one from the people. They wanted to even be number one from God. And you'll see it. Verse 8-10. And before I get into that, let me explain something. I think the relationship between God and Adam and Eve were kind of like my relationship with my son. You know, my son, he would hide in a chair, behind a chair like this. You know, you could see that he's obviously hiding there, right? But he kind of hides anyway. And then I don't know if he just wants, he knows that I know, I don't know if he knows that I know that he's hiding there, but I think he just wants me to go, hey, Samuel, you know, I think that's what he wants. I don't know, but he does that. But this, I think in the garden, that's what God and Adam and Eve did. Because, you see, even though God knew what happened, look at verse 9. Actually, start from verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. In the cool of the day, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But this is verse 9. But the Lord God said to the man, where are you? You know, I think this is kind of like the hide-and-seek kind of a voice. It's not like, where are you? You know, it's not nothing like that. God loved Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve first originally loved God. He was saying, where are you? You know, kind of like what I do to my son. And then verse 10, he answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. You know, of course, you know, the question that God starts asking later on is, you know, who told you you were naked? You know, how did you know you were naked? See here, the man is covering themselves from God. I don't want to be naked before you anymore. I realize I'm imperfect, but you know, I want to be perfect. I want to look perfect in front of you, God, in front of others. So then, he's covering himself up, saying, God, I need a covering. I need a barrier between you and me. Same thing with Adam and Eve. I need a barrier between you and me. You're not such a hottie. You know, you're not so good. I got to take care of me. I'm number one. So, at the end of the story, what happened? Their relationship with God died, right? Their relationship with God died. Relationship with each other died. But what does God really want from us? He wants us to come as we are. That's why He sent Jesus down for us. Because we are imperfect, He wants us to come to Him just as we are. So I wrote in your summary, you know, naked means to trust. Just come to Him trusting that God is not going to make fun of you when you come to Him naked. What it's saying is take off your layers of clothes that you've been covering up. You know, any kind of flaws or imperfections that you might have that you've been hiding, you know, let go and come to God just as you are. And be vulnerable. You know what that means? That means be ready to, you know, recognize that our lives without the covering is shameful. We are imperfect. We are flawed. Just come, be vulnerable before God. You know, if you have a problem in your life, for example, let's say you're not sure what career to choose or what major to choose, right? Go to Him and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't have it together. I'm not sure what my plans are. Or some of you might have a plan, have an idea. Yo, God, you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Say, you know, God, I don't know if this is going to work out. Just be vulnerable, because I know some of you, you know, say to me that you guys are all set in your mind, this is what you're going to do, but I know back of your mind you're concerned about, well, is it going to work out? Go to God and say, God, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Can I trust You? And then I'm sure He will lead you to a good path. All right, how many of you guys like to ask for directions? I'm talking about men here. You know, how many of you guys like to ask for directions? Because I surely don't. And, you know, this was before I got a GPS in my car. And this was, like, back in, like, 2004 or something. I didn't have a GPS. I was down in Florida. I lived in Florida. And I came up to Georgia for a JAMA conference. And it was just basically a Christian revival. And then I was heading back down. It's about 8 hours south. And I was just driving, just, you know, kind of listening to music and stuff. I just wasn't paying attention to the road. The road split up into two highways going south. And I needed to take a simple highway. It's as big as Highway 95, like here. You guys all know New Jersey Turnpike. You know, when we talk about going south, we all take New Jersey Turnpike. It was that simple. But then the road split to another highway. It also said south. So I said to myself, you know, what the heck? I missed 95. I missed the big pass. So let me, you know, it still says south to Florida. It's a long path. I'm sure it will somehow meet up together. I drove for about 5 minutes, kind of worried, you know, what should I do? You know, should I turn around? Nah. 10 minutes, thinking, you know what, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm sure, they're both going south. I mean, I must be going the right direction. At least I'm not going north. I kept going, 20 minutes, and I just kept going and going. And then about 30 minutes, I'm like, uh-oh, you know what, all right, I'm going to pull over and ask for directions. I'm going to be vulnerable here. I got to let down my defense. And I went to a gas station, and he told me, yeah, you're going the wrong way. You got to go back up 30 minutes. And I was explaining why. You know, we're both going south. There must be a way for it to connect. No, there's a big river in the middle. You can't cross it. You have to go back up. You know, all this time I was driving, I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to go back up, because then I've wasted, you know, a 10-minute range. I'm thinking I've wasted 20 minutes. But now, because I've not been vulnerable, I just kind of went the wrong way. I think it's like that. Sometimes I think some of us have to swallow our pride and be vulnerable before God. Just go to Him where you are. You know, you don't have to be stupid like me, you know, go 30 minutes. Don't be, you know, just be vulnerable as you are. Just come to Him imperfect, flawed. He'll take care of you. There's a book that C.S. Lewis, I know many of you heard of this guy, C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book called The Four Loves. In it, he says this, to love is to be vulnerable. I want to ask you guys, is there something in your life that you tend to cover up? Do you tend to cover up something, some part of your life? You know, do you want to cover up? Think about those things. What would shame you if someone were to find this out about you? You know, would you be ashamed if somebody were to go into your personal computer and look at your history of web searches? Or, you know, if somebody were to, I don't know, pry into your, you know, personal journal? You know, is there anything that you'd be ashamed of? Bring these matters to God. And there's a small group problem too. In our small, you know, we're beginning our small groups, right? And in our small groups, you know, many of us have a hard time interacting yet. I mean, I know we're just beginning, so I understand that's the situation. But the reason I think it's difficult is because all of us are wearing these thick clothing, you know, we want to look good in front of our members, right? In our small groups, this is a perfect place to practice being naked. You see, if you're vulnerable, it says love is to be vulnerable, right? If you are vulnerable, others could be vulnerable to you. And then that's when small groups really start coming alive. And you know what? To be vulnerable is a huge risk, right? If I tell Paul about my deepest I don't know, my sins and wrongs, right? It's vulnerable, you know, it's big risk. What if Paul starts telling everybody and, you know, I start losing faith in everything? It's a risk. But you gotta, if that risk doesn't come, then we'll never be community. Remember, we're here. We want to cover up. We gotta be naked in front of others. So be naked before God, be naked in front of others. So to be naked in front of others, we gotta be vulnerable, we gotta be trustworthy. So I wrote this sentence. To be naked is being able to admit, God, I don't have it together, please guide me. Now, can we all say it together, actually? You know, I don't know how many of you want to be naked before God, right? But let's say it with me. God, I don't have it together. Please guide me. Again, come on. God, I don't have it together. Please guide me. This is basically saying, Lord, I know I'm imperfect, but I come anyway. I don't have it together. I don't have my whole life all figured out yet. But I'm going to trust you. That's what it's saying. All right. Now I want to talk about dying. So being naked means to admit our flaws and our imperfections. Now to die is to give up trying to be perfect, trying to get everything in the world in order, you know, trying to, you know, be respected from other people, to be popular, you know, to be respected from others. To die is to stop trying to do that, but rather give up your life as an offering to God, and to love God, love others. You know, how many of you saw the movie Braveheart? 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 Oh, man. All right, in Braveheart, I love Braveheart because, you know, there's a guy with such passion, right? Braveheart, in William Wallace says this phrase, every man dies, not every man really lives. And then there's also a dialogue between this guy named Robert the Bruce. You guys remember Robert the Bruce? He was the one that was kind of like on William's side. He wanted to help William, but he was one of the nobles, so he couldn't help. But Robert the Bruce says this. He was just talking to his father, the father who wanted to kill William Wallace. Lands, titles, men, power, nothing. Nothing? I have nothing. Men fight for me because if they do not, I throw them off land. I starve their wives and their children. Those men who bled the ground red at Falkirk, they fought William Wallace. And he fights for something that I never had. I took it from him when I betrayed him. I saw it in his face on the battlefield, and it's tearing me apart. All men betray. All lose heart. I don't want to lose heart. I want to believe as he does. No, I think it's very, very theological there. You know, many of us, we grasp onto life, right? We want to hold on to life. Nobody really came here to die, right? Nobody wants to die. But the paradox is, people who grasp onto life, they end up finding death. People who grasp onto death, they're the ones that find life. Do you want to live? Do you want to really live? Then you gotta die. You know, I think that's why many Christians in churches, they're bored. Because many of them have never died. They've kind of did the religious thing, you know, coming to church on Sundays, you know, maybe go to small groups, you know, I don't know, do whatever the pastor tells you to do, you know, serve in the church. That's good stuff. I mean, I'm not discounting any of that. But then the thing is, they never really died. They never really committed themselves to God, saying, God, I want to live for you. God, you know, you could do all these things. I want to trust in you. They never really died. They're still the same thing. They still go through the same motions of having to make money. You know, I still want to find the best girl. You know, I still want to find the best guy. You know, still the same, no different than the rest of the world. But Jesus died willingly. And if you really want to live, if you want to really live a fulfilling life, you really got to die self-willingly like Jesus did. And, you know, I talk about GPS, you know, our whole concept of GPS for Jesus is that God is our GPS. He has a good path for us. He has a plan for us. In order to go that plan, we got to kind of stop following our own directions, right? Kind of like what I did. If the GPS gives you guidance to go this way, it looks like a harder path to go through. You kind of have to follow that. That's what it means to die, to willingly die. You know what the problem is, though? Most of us don't want to die, all right? How many of us have things on earth that we want to do? You know, like, I got to satisfy my parents. I got to get a good job. I got to find a hot girl or a good-looking guy. Right? I got to get good grades. I got to get a good title at work. I got to promote. I got, I gotta make it in life. I gotta be rich. I gotta make money. No. There is a problem. To die, to really live, you have to die. Think of it like when you apply for jobs, when you apply to college, or you know, when you decide to select a major, when you're even seeking a mate. You know, many of us might say, you know, no, I'll never be able to make that job. I'll never be able to. I'll never be a cut enough for that girl. You know, that girl's way above me. But you know, I think many of us know, like some people in job positions, you see them, they're not really that capable, but they somehow make it. You know, some ugly fat guy, you know, marries the most beautiful girl. I think you see that too. You know, I think our mentality as Christians, as people who trust in God, who die to ourselves, are not to rely on our own strength, but believe in a God who is able to do all things. So then if you're kind of confused about school, job, you know, what to do after school, career, mate, trust in God. He has a better plan for you. When I was in college, I'll end with this. This is, when I was in college, it's a long story, you know, I could go through all the details, but when I was in college, I prayed to God. This was my sophomore year. I was praying to God, God, I want you to give me a good mate. I'm tired of, you know, I don't want to go date many women. If you would find me one perfect woman for me, I would love her to death, and I would, you know, serve you wholeheartedly. God, you know, can you provide a woman for me? And I prayed this prayer, and then, you know, of course, it didn't happen. The answer didn't happen right away. I mean, some of you already know the story about me, but the prayer didn't get answered right away. But after like 3 or 4 months, you know, I started getting this picture of a girl's face in my mind. This girl that I've not really met too much, that I've not really talked with too much, and I'm thinking, you know, God, you know, are you sure? But then the problem is, after this prayer and as I kept praying, you know, I started falling madly in love with her. It was just, you know, this was the one. This is the one. But then many of you know what happened, though. I had to chase after this girl for more than 3 years, and I was actually disappointed with God at the end, because now here I am graduating college, which means we're going to be far away. And nothing really happened between us. So then what's going to happen? So, and through this difficult, it was difficult. I mean, you guys know how it is. No, like, I've been, you know, and even in the middle, you know, I started thinking, you know, maybe I could do it on my own strength. I have good looks and I have, you know, intelligence. You know, I could find another girl that could work. Many times I felt that way. I could do better. I could do better than what God had in mind for me. And, you know, even then, you know, during this prayer, I'm like thinking, you know, maybe God's just like tricking me. You know, maybe he's saying, giving me a different picture. You know, maybe I could do better. I used to think that way. And then I got really upset at God for a while after graduating, because now we're apart. Nothing's going to happen. There's no way something could happen. But, you know, many of you know what happens. You know, later on, we got married, you know, we have a kid. But, you know, even when I went down to Florida, you know, it was such a long distance, right? I'm still upset at God. I actually even hooked up with another girl, thinking, you know, this girl will do. She's nice, she's pretty, you know, this girl will do. But you know what the problem is? I broke up with her in 3 months because she came from Korea, and, you know, she immigrant status, and she wanted to marry and whatever. But the problem was, whenever I met with her, only person I could think of is this girl that I met in college. You know, God did something to my head. I don't know what it is, but I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to commit to anything with anyone else. And then that's when I prayed to God, saying, God, you know what? I don't have it all together. You know, God, I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect, and Lord, here I am trying to do things on my own strength. You have the best for me in mind. I could try to go for the second best or third best. I could try to make it on my own strength. But God, whatever your plan is, you know, here I die to you. And I submit to your will. And then amazingly, I have no clue how she got my number. She called me. And then she said, hey, you know, I heard that you're down in Florida. You know, hey, can I come down and visit you? And then we shortly got engaged after that. You know, we got married. All the, you know, stories, I guess we could talk in like small group times, you know, when us guys get together. But for you guys, God has the best in your life. It could be your career. It could be your mate. It could be, you know, just job, or it could be just anything in your life. anything that you're struggling with right now. God has the best in your life. Now, to get that best, you have to die. You can't, you know, you want to try it on your own strength, go ahead. You're not going to get the best. God has the best for you. Just, you know, be able to say this. You know, just say, Lord, I don't have it all together. I don't want to live to my knowledge and experiences. You know, I think I know what I'm doing. You know, give that up to God. Say, God, I die and will live for you. And if God calls us his children, right? If we are his children and he is the Father and he loves us, wouldn't he want to get you the best? But he's doing this. He's giving us this chance in our life, our lives, so that way we could plan for this eternity, because God has the best for us. Which path are you going to take? To follow Jesus, if you want to call yourself a follower of Jesus, Jesus self-executed himself. He willingly carried the cross. For you, are you willing to die? Are you willing to follow the path of self-execution? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says this, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you want to follow Jesus and really receive the best, die. Be naked and die. I think that's really the key. Be naked and die. If you are willing to come naked before God and die, then, you know, he will guide you. And for practical advice for all of you, join us, join the small groups, practice being naked, practice dying. Because what's going to happen is, as you meet with people that you don't know, you're going to realize, you're going to find yourself wanting to defend more, you know, not be too vulnerable. But this is a time for us to open up, for us to love one another, practice dying, practice being naked. People who grasp life find death. People who grasp death find life. Matthew 16:25 says this, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And just so you guys could remember it throughout the week, to die is to give up your driver's seat. All of us, think of it like, you know, we're like a vehicle, right? We're all driving it the way we want to. But there's a God who knows which way we ought to go. He knows which way is best for us. So instead of trying to do it on our own, just give it up and say, God, will you take the driver's seat? God, drive for me, because, you know, I just kind of want to be in the passenger seat following you. You know, relinquish your control. Take a moment to pray. I want to ask you guys, you know, to think about where you are in your life. I know some of you don't have God figured out yet, I know. And it's okay. And, you know, with time, you know, we'll get there. But ask yourself, you know, God, you know, do you guys have it all together? Do you guys have all your life all planned out? Do you know exactly what's going to happen in your life? Come to God naked. Come to God naked. And say to God, God, you know, I don't have it together. I am imperfect. Lord, will you take me as I am? And Lord, I want to go following you. I want to follow you. I no longer want to do it my way. Lord, I want to go do what you want me to do. Take a moment to pray. Listen, take this time to be naked before God. Do you have any concerns or worries in your life? You don't know what's going to happen next week. No, you don't know what kind of career you'll get. You don't know whether, you know, school is right for you. You know, you feel miserable maybe. Maybe in your life you had some bad relationships. Give it to God. Be naked before him. Come naked. Come naked. You really want to live. You really want the best in your life. Follow Jesus. He's asking us to die. There's no other way. You could go for the second best. I know my God has given me the best. You know, for your life too, each one of you, God has the best for you in His mind. And today I want to give you guys a chance about, I want to explain to you about Jesus, and I want to give you guys a chance to accept Jesus. You know, if there's any of you that feels, you know, God, you know, I don't have my life all together. God, you know I'm imperfect. I know I don't have it. Just, I don't know where my life is going. I don't know what my purpose is in life. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. I know many of you still may feel this way. But if you would come to God and say, Lord, you know, just take me as I am, He will. You know, the gospel is simply this, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Savior, because He is able to get rid of all the coverings that we have. He is able to get us draw closer to God. Because we have all these coverings from God that we cannot have a relationship with God. But Jesus is willing to let you take it off. And to accept Him as Lord is saying, God, I don't have it all together. I'm just going to follow You whichever way You want me to go. I want all of you who's willing to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's going to lead your life in a better way. I want you to say this prayer with me. And those of you that have already accepted Jesus, you know, say it with us to help your brothers and sisters. And for those of us that, you know, maybe have left the faith, because I know some of you back in like high school, you know, you were gung-ho for Jesus, and then you kind of slowly came away. You know, say this prayer to recommit your life to God. This is where we begin. This is where we start our ministry. We need Jesus in our lives. Say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I don't have it all together. Lord, I realize I'm imperfect. And Lord, I want to leave my life for You. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. God, I want You to take control of my life and lead me in the good path. I want to live for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you know, on your communication cards in the back, I know I put in a line that says, you know, I've accepted Jesus. Or there's also a line that says, I'm not sure about this Jesus yet. You know, let me talk a little more. Or, you know, just be honest here. You know, write your comments. It'll be only me looking at it, and then, you know, I could share if there's any prayer requests or whatnot. But, you know, I want, without Jesus, without God, our ministry cannot go. So. All right, and now Paul's going to collect offering. And as he does, just put in the communication cards in there. If you need more time to fill it out, just let Paul know. He will wait until you're done filling it out. And if you're not sure about putting the card in, then you know, you could always hand it to me. You know, you could always run away with it, but you know, just welcome to do whatever your heart says. Holy and anointed.
Thank you.
if any of you has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or have rededicated themselves for Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. I want you to hold on to it. And if any of you, you know, you're not sure yet, take the time to pray to God. Say, God, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're real. I don't know if you really exist. Just take a moment just to say these things. It's okay. Be vulnerable. Be open. God wants you to be blunt with Him. Heavenly Father, You are awesome and almighty. Thank You for loving us so much, even though we want to be selfish and we want to live for ourselves. Lord Father, I want You to mold our hearts, transform us, Father, to be people You want us to be. Lord, for some of us, help us to come find You. You know, it's hard to see You in the middle of all this busyness, of all the things that we have to do. Father, I pray that You'll come, help us to find You. And Lord, I pray for all those that are going to school, going back to school, that Lord, that You will bless them, strengthen them, help them to study hard, study well, do well in their studies, you know, be able to achieve the things that they set their minds to. That You will guide them through all the struggle, all the toughness, all the difficulties they may face. Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, strengthen us that in our daily lives that we may draw near to You, that we may serve You, we may just fall in love with You. And that our life perspective will be changed. It will not be for us, but it will be for You. That we will be naked before You, and that we will die to ourselves. Let us be people. Let us be people who follow You. Lord, bless these people. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Any difficulties, Lord, cover them. Be with them. Lord, through it all, thank You for loving us. Be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.